I'm Cody from Game Life Balance US, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other geeky podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You are listening to episode number 126 of Better Podcasting. Today, we practice. We practice a lot.
In this week's Better Podcasting download, get your maple syrup out. It's time for some Canadian stats.
In this week's Better Pod Back, we answer the age-old question, just who is Johnny Pennington?
And I'll wrap it all up and tell you about my Zoom L12 fix that I implemented. Lauren, start the show. We can hack it. No, we can't.
Welcome to Better Podcasting, a show where we talk about podcast tips, tools, and best practices to help you succeed with your podcast. What makes us different? Well, just like you, we podcast purely out of the love and fun of it. Podcasting is our hobby, and we recognize that it's yours too. We always encourage your questions and feedback, and you can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. Here's your host for the show, Stephen John Drew and Stargate Pioneer.
Welcome to episode 126 of Better Podcasting. I am the man who drones on, Stephen John Drew, and with me, of course, is the man that owns all of the drones, Stargate Pioneer.
Well, not all of the drones quite yet. There are just a few left that I have to acquire, but yes, I do have quite the drone fleet collection going, and I can't wait to add to it once they go on sale or are refurbished. I'm not crazy. I'm not paying full price for these things. It's outrageous how expensive they are.
Yeah, well, you are an outrageous person. But yes, we are here to talk about the craziness of podcasting. If you are wanting to make yourself a little bit better in podcasting, we are here to help you with that. And one of the ways we like to do that is by soliciting you to also help our listeners. We like you to tell us, how have you saved your podcast? This is a fun segment that we like to do from time to time when somebody tells us what went wrong, how did they fix it, and it just gets the creative juices going for everybody. And guess what? We have a special guest contributor today. If you're watching the video side of things, yes, there is indeed a video show at betterpodcasting.com. He is on the right side of the screen. He is Stargate Pioneer.
Thank you very much, Stephen. It's a pleasure to be on the show with you guys and longtime listener, first time caller. I have a how I save my podcast. It's actually how I save my podcasts because I saved two podcasts. Now, what did I do? I went to podcastconnect.com and tried to log in and see my podcasts there. Well, Better Podcasting was there, and I've shared that with you. You've seen that. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Longbox is there. But Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. at Starlight Tribune weren't there. I'm like, oh, they're not there. Now, there's actually a really good reason that they're not there, because I'm not the one who started the show. So instead of losing all our subscribers and all our information in iTunes, whatever, I just let it ride with the person that created the show for so long. But now that we had the stats, now that we had a way to transport things over, I decided to implement it. And I went to the podcastconnect.com website. I went down into the contact us and the resources and help. And I said, I would like to transfer a show over. And they said, okay, here's what you do. There's a little like 6-digit code. You put in one or two places in your show information, in your RSS feed. Once we've seen that, we will then move the podcast over, and then it will be yours. And after a couple of weeks, because I only did one at a time, I'm not crazy. I'm not going to do them all at once with something I don't know is going to work. Guess what? They both worked. Took a little while, but they got on over. Now, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Starling Tribune are now under my iTunes account, so I can see all the great stats that may or may not be there. And I can see what the listener habits are, so I can help my podcast grow in the future to make decisions, smart decisions with the show, to get in line with what the listeners want.
Well, congratulations on getting your own podcast.
Thank you. I had to actually steal two, but yeah, it's, they're now mine.
No, seriously, this is a problem that a lot of people have had. And so this just goes to show that if you want to get it back, you can just follow what SB said. Go to that help section, send in the ticket, follow the instructions, and hope that it works out for you. It'll be either that or they'll do my approach, which was just delete my podcast from the iTunes listing. One of the two.
In iTunes or Apple Podcast defense, you did yours before they had an actual process.
That's true.
To make it happen. So
that is true. All right. Well, let's just go ahead and move on to practicing. Let's be honest, SP. The term practice makes perfect. It's used a lot, isn't it?
It is. It's used a lot because it actually is valid in life. You know, whether it's preparing for an interview on a podcast or preparing to give a speech, learning a new skill like flying a drone or something else, we often practice in our life to help get better at things before it becomes crunch time.
Like Cap'n Crunch?
Or, you know, crunching for finals, that sort of thing. So why is podcasting any different? It's not really. So today we're going to talk about ways that practice helps make your podcast better.
All right. So we know the question you're saying. You're saying practice. Okay. Why does practicing matter? Well, after all, it is your show. And we've talked about that before. It's your baby. You can do what you want. But let's go down the first route here, which is that it helps you get more comfortable with the elements in your show. For example, let's say you're starting a new segment on your show and you're looking to change your opening intro. By practicing or rehearsing this a few times before you actually hit record, you're going to be more comfortable when it's actually recording time, and that's going to deliver a little bit better. And if you're more comfortable with it, you're probably less likely to make a mistake during the show, which benefits you, of course, in many, many different ways, such as less editing. It allows you to keep a smoother rhythm, and it does give you a better chance of sounding like you're not reading off a script.
Or pronouncing words correctly, in the case of Steven. Practicing also helps you develop faster. Say, for example, you had an item that you were going to read out loud each week. And if you're only reading this out loud during your recordings, then you're only progressing when you're doing it each week. But if you practice it a few times before the show, you're instantly advancing yourself weeks ahead in experience.
Absolutely. It also will help you find what works and what really doesn't work. Here's a little fun fact for you. As I mentioned previously on the show, and if you haven't heard this episode, guess what? I now, for my day job, make electronic learning modules for my workplace. So that's my day job now. And when I do this, I spend a lot of time outlining the script. So what I mean by that is I write out what exactly voice work I have to do. And I spend a lot of time looking through it because I'm training people. So I read it through. And even though I've spent a lot of prep time, guaranteed, every time I go to actually record and practice it first, I find that there's certain things that just don't work well once I'm actually saying it, even though I spent a ridiculous amount of time reading the document before recording. So the practicing and saying it out loud helps me identify what works.
On the flip side, when something does work well, you've got a great opportunity to apply it to something else. For example, you might practice something and realize a delivery style works well, and you might decide to apply that delivery style to another short bit in your podcast as well. So what are some of the ways or areas that you can practice or practice on? First of all, you can practice just by doing your show on a routine basis, right? Sometimes we say here on Better Podcasting each week, because that's the routine, that's the deliverance, that is the cadence that we are used to. But it really is whatever routine that you're on. So make sure that you establish that your routine if you are practicing to make perfect. So getting into that routine helps you practice your entire show from tooth to tail, from soup to nuts, whatever you want to call it, from start to end. And whether it's planning your show in the pre-show notes, whether it's recording, whether it's your actual hosting style, whether it's editing or promoting, all these things are necessary in podcasting. You can only get better by getting out there and actually doing it.
We often say that even with podcasting together for 2 years, SP and I here on Better Podcasting, we still have to get used to this particular show over other shows that we've done. For example, I've done Gonna Geek, I've done a Walking the Walking Dead podcast, SP's done a couple of other things like SP likes to roast nuts, that sort of stuff. And so we do have to get used to this, and this affects us still on a show-to-show basis, and there's things that we have to do to practice.
That's right. So all these shows, we either podcasted on full-time or we guest-hosted on each other's show. So we were actually podcasting together for a few years, and we individually podcasted alone before we podcasted together with different co-hosts. So we had experience going into Better Podcasting, but the first few Better Podcastings just aren't the same as they are now, even with that chemistry. So we had to develop it in specifically in this show. So you might or you might not notice an improvement from week to week, but eventually, if you go back and you listen to maybe episode 1 of your show or episode 10, if you're on episode 50 or whatever, you're going to cringe at where you were in the beginning and how far you've actually come, just because you've gone out there and you've gone through the ropes each and every episode. So you've improved over time. So it's that 50,000 foot strategic level that we're really talking about here, but take some time to look at podcasting details specifically and how they will benefit from practicing to make perfect. And we got some for you right here.
All right, let's go to one that we kind of alluded to a little bit earlier in our examples, which is, let's say you have a structured read, a promo, copy, whatever you want to call it. If you say, do an awesome podcast about podcasting with your co-host, at the beginning of each show, you might find that you want to do some form of tease of the episode, just short to let people know what the episode's going to be. And that might be an opportunity that you could practice that tease before you record. And yes, I am talking about us. Yes, SB and I definitely rehearse, well, practice, whatever you want to call it, before we hit record, before we even stream. We practice that tease at the beginning to make sure that we know, does it fit well? Is it long enough? Is it too short? Is Steven just going to make moose jokes the entire time? So we do practice before we do that.
Yeah, he usually does. And I have to take them out, say, no, Steven, we can't do that many moose jokes. But let's say, for example, you got something that you know you want your co-host to pick up on and respond to. Let's say that co-host A is going to say something specific, and that is the specific cue for co-host B to respond. This actually would be a good thing to practice ahead of time so that you both are familiar with the actual delivery. So this is, could be a good segue along the way. It could be something that you're used to from week to week, or it could be something that's specific to the episode, but you do it differently every week. And just by practicing it either before the show or each week during the show, you're going to make those segues sound like you've actually a well-oiled machine when you actually only talk to each other when you sit down and record.
Oh, right. We practiced that. Sorry, this is my time. Next up is hardware changes. Okay, this is one that actually you probably don't think of off the top of your head, because how do you practice hardware changes? Well, yes, if you've made any sort of hardware change, whether it's switching a mixer or something like a cable, it's a really good idea to practice in some level before you hit record. And the reason why is because often with hardware change, things go wrong, and you might not realize it went wrong unless you do a full practice and a full test sort of thing. So practicing is a great way to make sure that you don't run into that problem with hardware changes. Every time I do that, I walk through the whole thing, the whole Steven Crazy Skypeosaurus, and I essentially practice.
It could be your levels for different people. If you put a new mixer in, it could be your wiring. So you put some new cables in, but you don't realize that they're shorted out to begin with right out of the box. It could be mix minus issues, like you don't have the right things selected. It could be the fact that your Skype drivers didn't update or did update or something like that. You simply don't know until you actually sit down to press record. And even in advance of this podcast, since we do it live, we do a short test before we go live most of the time, if we have time, just to make sure everything is working before we go live. And that's just because we've learned and we've gotten burned so many other times. We've actually switched services that we're connecting over the internet because, like, Skype doesn't work one day. Okay, well, that means we have to go try another service. It's not desirable, but at least we've tried it out and we saw it was failing, so we went another way.
What about this one? This one's one of my favorite ones, which is before launching a show. Yes, SPs has one of his many golden rules of hobby podcasting, as unless your name is Stargate Pioneer, don't have more than two shows. That's the exact rule as it was written. And this
is not true.
What? I thought that was how you wrote it.
No, it's don't be SP and don't do more than two shows.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Well, the intention behind the don't do what SP does rule is that it's really hard to implement a new show into your workflow. It might just seem like only one more, but there's a whole bunch of different things that end up happening when you start a new show from start to finish. So we encourage people to practice your show before you actually go. Yes, this means recording things that may not ever see the light of day. Sure, yes, you may decide to release those, but it's a lot better to practice a few weeks in a row of fitting this into your routine to identify where will it work, will it work, and just find the overall balance. Because if you end up launching a show right out of the gate and you find out that it doesn't work, now potentially you're letting down a whole bunch of people, or you have to pod fade it, or you might be all over the place. You might start on Tuesday and go, no, that doesn't work. I got to release it on Thursday. So practicing a few weeks in a row before you launch, it's huge. I've done this and it stopped me from launching a show.
I would recommend that you, when you're doing this, that you practice your personal time too. Don't think that you're going to go wall to wall podcasting. Practice that downtime, practice that entertainment time, practice that time with friends away from podcasting while you're doing it. Otherwise, I'm saying no go at all. Another thing that you can practice is editing. Oh yeah, editing. We're big believers of editing here on Better Podcasting, and editing can be a very steep learning curve for just about anybody. And it's a good idea to know the tools that you have chosen to use editing better. And the more comfortable you become in editing, the faster your editing processes and routine will actually become. It can actually, I can tell you this from personal experience, be very exhausting to have a show drag on through the week because you're just not comfortable with editing. I've switched editing softwares a few times, and every time I do, I try to give myself extra time to edit. And every single time, I don't allot enough time to go through and editing. And once I actually went back to the old editing process just to get the show out the door, and then I reset for the following week. But this is a time-consuming thing, and you have to make sure that you've practiced it before you start something new.
All right, so those are some ways that you can practice, but are there cautions with practicing? Yes, there absolutely are. For example, you don't want to practice something so much that it ends up sounding scripted. It would be really bad if your conversation about the latest episode of This Week in Paint Drying television show sounded very scripted between you and your host. There wants to be a certain dynamic conversational element. You don't want it to sound scripted.
I don't know with a paint drying podcast whether I would want it to sound scripted or not, because I'm just envisioning, if you're talking about a paint drying podcast, you're actually trying to put somebody to sleep. So maybe scripted would be good either. I don't know. Yeah, go. If you're interested in a paint drying podcast, once you try them both out and let me know. But we also want to make sure that you don't spend a lot of time recording or practicing, that it makes for the recording session just to drag on forever and ever and ever. You don't want a recording session to go like 6-8 hours. It's just not going to be good for anybody. Even if you're a solo show, it's not going to be good. So sure, we've called this episode Practice Makes Perfect. That's the title of the episode. But here's the thing. It really doesn't need to be perfect. The end goal is to get you closer to that level, but the end goal is not to make you perfect. So just make sure that you're improving, because if you're a new podcaster, especially if you're a hobby podcaster, a new hobby podcaster, which is a demographic we try to help on Better Podcasting, that you're just improving from episode 1 to episode 2 to episode 3. So hopefully by the time you get to episode 20, 50, 100, you're a much better, more polished podcaster than you were before you started.
Yeah, so whether it's something small or something big, practicing areas of your podcasting only helps you make yourself better, like that end goal. But let's go ahead and move into the download.
Welcome to this week's Better Podcasting Download.
Sorry, I'm just distracted eating my flapjacks and maple syrup and Tim Hortons and asking you about the download, eh?
All right, I sense a theme here. We've talked about all things Canadian, but we haven't talked about moose yet. So what's the plural of moose? Like, if you have a herd of moose, what is that called?
Everybody knows it's meese, obviously.
I see. Well, obviously, we're talking about Canada right now, and specifically, we're talking about the Infinite Dial. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago, the Infinite Dial research survey that's been an annual staple of Better Podcasting and been a staple in podcasting for more than a decade. Well, guess what? This year, they went ahead and they launched a Canadian version. So we're going to talk about the Infinite Dial Canada 2018.
Do you mind if I talk about it? Is that okay?
I think at this point in time, I have actually thrown it to you to talk about. So okay. I want you to talk about it. So please don't apologize. Okay. Otherwise, I'm going to run up there and wring your neck.
All right. So here's the moral of the story with the Infinite Dial Canada by Edison Research is bottom line, it's really not that much different from the US. So we're just going to do a quick overview of it today. Just a really highlight, because a lot of the takeaways are the same as when we talked about it. SP will find the episode number for you. Canadian smartphone ownership was at 76% compared to 82% in the US. Smart speaker ownership is at 8% overall, with the Google Home taking a much larger share than Amazon in Canada. I've talked about that off of this show. If you want to get in touch with me about that, my Canadian experience while I am an Amazon Echo owner, very, very different than the US counterparts. Nearly half of all Canadians 18 plus, 49% are weekly listeners to online audio, with Spotify being the leader in the pack of usage. Just like in the US, radio dominates in-car media consumption, with 64% of Canadians saying it is the audio source they use most in their cars. Monthly podcast listening is 28%, with 61% of Canadians 18 plus being familiar with the term. And Canadian podcast listeners listen to an average of not one, not two, not three, not four, but five podcasts in the last week, is what the listener said.
So of Canadian podcast listeners.
Canadian podcast listeners. So really very, very comparable to the US, but a couple of differences were actually in the sort of audio brand awareness, right, SP?
Well, I wanted to highlight this because number 7 is important for Canadians. So as we talked about, number 1 was Spotify, with 64% of Canadians being aware of Spotify. Number 2 was Apple Music. 62% of Canadians were aware of Apple Music. 58% of Canadians were aware of Google Play Music. That was number 3. Number 4, 43% of Canadians were aware of iHeartRadio. Number 5, 42% of Canadians are aware of Amazon Music. And number 6, 37% of Canadians were aware of SoundCloud. Okay, yeah, for music, yeah. And here is the Canadian difference. 35% of Canadians were aware of the CBC Music streaming service.
Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised about the CBC Music streaming service. CBC has been weird in Canadian broadcasts. They have had some very notable shows in Canada. So, you know, their music platforms, all these other streaming things, it's been around for a while. So that's pretty interesting to see some of these differences. Personally, I would never have guessed Amazon Music being that high. Completely shocked at how high Amazon Music is, because it's really not that great in Canada. I've got it. It's a relatively new offering within within Canadian Amazon Prime. So I'm very surprised to see it that high, but I guess a lot of Canadians probably have Amazon. So they probably, at the time of the survey, recently got the blast from Amazon. I know I did, but very, very interesting.
So for a while, I've been saying, based on information that I've gathered, where would the top places be to distribute your podcast? So if you are a podcast producer, where would you want to hit in order to get the Canadians that are podcast listeners? And Spotify is the number one destination. Might not be the place that I would submit to first, but it is the number one destination of Canadians being aware. So if you're able to apply to Spotify, I would. Apple Music, well, that's no duh, with Apple Podcasts / iTunes, or as I stated at the beginning of the show, podcastsconnect.com is where you want to go. Google Play Music is at 58%. Now, we haven't seen a lot of stats coming from Google Play, but here is the reason why I would say to submit your podcast to Google Play Music. Which, can you do that as a Canadian now, or do you have to have an America or United States friend to do it for
you? Yeah, no, it launched like a day or two after the US.
Okay. So Google Play Music, the reason why you want to have your podcast there is for SEO. Also, Google has made waves recently in wanting to put an actual native app in Android, so on your mobile devices. So if you want to get ahead of that curve, I would put your stuff in Google Play Music now. iHeartRadio, that's another place that I've also said that you should put your stuff in. Not as big in my stats as Spotify, but it is still a destination that's available to a lot of people. And I do have an Amazon app or skill, actually, for the home audio devices for Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. I haven't seen a whole heck of a lot of people listen there, but I have had some listeners reach out and say, oh yeah, I listen to Amazon stuff all the time on my phone or through my devices. It's so great that you had that skill. I'll let you know if it becomes a statistically significant part of my listeners for that particular show. And for SoundCloud, both Steven, you and I have tried SoundCloud in the past just to put our episodes there because we've heard of the great discovery there, and neither of us saw a really big hit with that. So both of us basically shut our accounts down, and we don't also distribute our podcast to SoundCloud. So if you are distributing your podcast through a self-hosted RSS or through a media host such as Libsyn or Podbean, I would stick with that, and I would not put it on SoundCloud unless you're doing something that's music based, and I'd put it on there. And that's a whole other thing. We should do a show on that at some point in time about music podcasts, but we're not going to talk about it today.
So there you go. Now you're a little bit more familiar with Canadian listening, and you might just want to go ahead and get yourself a cup of Timmy's and say, sorry about that, eh? In this week's Better Pod Back, we will start off with a visual one that you got to go over to geeks.link/zoom photo. That's geeks.link/zoom photo to see a photo that resident wood worker listener man Diami Palotki said at Better Pod, Hapaj, New York. Let me know if you need pronunciation help. And yes, he tweeted a photo of the Zoom headquarters at 2040 some road in New York.
I assume that's in Hapaj, New York.
Yes, I believe it is. Is it Hapag? Should we say Hapag?
I think we need to let him know that we need pronunciation help.
I'm pretty sure it's Hapaj, but we'll see. But yeah, check that out. It's fun, and it's good to know that my mixer was there at one point. Also, next up in the tweets, we had a tweet from @thecovert_nerd asked the age-old question of...
Johnny Pennington always comments on your show. Does he have a podcast? If so, what is it? I was confused when I first started listening to Better Podcasting when you would read his emails every week. At first, I assumed he was part of the Gonna Geek Network since his emails are detailed and consistent. Now I understand he he's a big Better Podcasting fan.
Yes, that's true. Johnny Pennington is a big Better Podcasting fan. He's not on the Gunna Geek Network, just a guy that found us and has been listening. And I always call him loyal listener because he is. He's always here every time that we stream and he listens to it after. So he is loyal listener, Johnny Pennington. So the original question, though, was Johnny Pennington Show. SP, I'll turn it over to you to give the title of that.
Yeah, he doesn't have one out yet. That's the deal. He hasn't launched yet. And we've been getting on his case to make sure he goes ahead and launch. Now, I'm not going to get too far on his case because it did take us established podcasters 10 months to launch this show. I can only imagine the hurdles somebody has to go through not having any podcast experience. But he is on the road to launch his show. We have been assured of that. He has been gathering his gear that he claims is necessary for the style of the show that he wants, and eventually he will actually record and publish his first show. Once he does, we'll let everybody know because he is loyal listener, Johnny Pennington. So if anybody else that's a loyal listener starts a new show, please let us know, and we will talk about your new show at the end of our show.
Fun fact, by the way, he has asked me not to share what his podcast is going to be about, but I'm going to do it. It's actually going to be a Better Podcasting after show. So it's going to be a talk about Better Podcasting.
He's taking a cue from the hardest working man in television, right? And he's having an after show about our podcast. Actually, I think that would work.
It's called Talking Better Pod. That's what it is. We also had another tweet say, in regards to dynamic and condenser mics, I'm using the AT2035 condenser. It has a natural sound to my voice. I upgraded from an AT2100 dynamic, which to some degree put too much emphasis on my Asian accent, in my opinion, LOL.
I'm not sure what a dynamic or a condenser microphone can really do to an accent. I will say if you do change over from a dynamic to a condenser, you're going to deal with room noise. You're going to deal with echo. You're going to deal with everything that comes with a condenser. Just remember, no matter what microphone you're using, proper mic technique still is needed, where you're 4 to 6 inches away from the microphone. This will allow you, at least with a condenser, to reduce the gain, so you might not get as much ambient sound, but it might help you also not need as much audio treatment in your room to sound as isolated as you would with a dynamic microphone. But yeah, we talked all about the condensers last week and why I was confounded why so many people actually wanted them for podcasting. And yeah, we actually got another feedback point for that too. And this comes from @VarmintsPodcast, said, so is, quote, personal preference, unquote, a good excuse for using a condenser mic? I know how to use my mic and it's just more comfortable for me. I'm glad the discussion didn't devolve into gear shaming, but at the same time, if your podcast sounds good, does it matter really? Does for me, but maybe not your listeners. And that's the important part. If it doesn't matter for you, if it doesn't matter for your listeners, you might have struck a good balance. And as long as you are taking precautions with the condenser and you're editing out stuff or processing that room reverb, okay, if it works for you, I think it's just easier to go with the dynamic microphone.
And by the way, the gear shaming SPN and I say for off the podcast between him and I directly, we do it every single time, every week. It's pretty much, we just shame each other.
Either that or Steven continues to flash me, which I've counseled him not to do anymore.
Wow, had to go there. Next one, @PodcastShare, by the way, he was talking about flash memory. Steven and SP are making my favorite how to podcast right now. @BetterPod, lots of great down-to-earth and realistic tips and advice for the hobby podcaster.
Thank you, @PodcastShare. We really appreciate that. Also, @JoshuaCListen, who actually podcasts about podcasting too with the Podcast Survival Guide down in Australia, he said, @BetterPod, @PodcastHelper, and @BanderSays made our list of healthy podcasting information choices on the latest the Podcaster Survival Guide, which is you can find at tpsguide.org episode. So yeah, I would wholly recommend everybody checking out that podcast as well. Once again, that's the Podcaster's Survival Guide, and that is produced by Joshua C. Liston.
We also had few emails actually this week, and more than just Johnny Pennington. I know. Say what? That's right. The email's coming back. Everybody's off of Facebook. They're back to email. Sending from Google to Google. Their privacy is not safe with Google. Anyways, we had Trevor Nicholson say, "Hey guys, I remember a while back you mentioned what camera you used to film the video aspect of your podcast. What camera was that? Intending to start a YouTube channel to coincide with the podcast. Thanks for your help, Trevor." Trevor, this is a great question and one that we have encouraged people to go and buy $7,000 cameras, buy yourself a TriCaster, spend millions of dollars, with hundreds of thousands of dollars on gear, because why not, right? No, okay. Very simple camera, really affordable camera, Logitech C920 or Logitech C922. Both of those are very similar cameras. SP and I both own each of one. Fun fact, Gonna Geek Network member who also does a video show, Chris Farrell, owns one of each as well. And we will tell you that for the dollar figure, it's really hard to beat. Really hard to beat. These cameras are really good, and they generally work. Now, that's the caution about these. The reason why we say the C920 or the C922 is because they both have a very similar picture, but they operate a little bit differently driver-wise. And I want to say that, full disclosure, on different weeks, we've encountered issues with both of them. It's been situations where Windows updates come in, and all of a sudden, one of us has been like, yeah, the C922 is working solid for me, and the other has gone, no, I had to go back to the C920, and then flip that scenario exactly. It's really weird. The drivers, occasionally, there is a quirk, and generally, it's been in Windows 10. Now, with that said, for the money, it's still my recommendation. There's some other cameras that have come out in recent, but I just don't think they've proven themselves yet.
So a couple of things. These cameras are 1080 webcams, so they do have actual microphones in there. So if you use them, make sure that your microphone that you have selected is your good microphone, not the webcam microphone. And once again, they're 1080, which isn't bad, especially if you're going to stream, because the internet really just hasn't caught up with the amount of data necessary with 4K video. And trust me on that, because I've been dealing with that lately because of my drone footage. And oh my gosh, that is an entirely new level of dealing with video is 4K. It's just an amazing hog in terms of resources and bandwidth. So that's number one. They're 1080, which isn't bad, but they're 1080. Number two, you have to light yourself appropriately to get good picture. And if you have any questions on what good lighting is, go ahead and Google 3-point lighting, and that will give you lots of great examples of how to actually light yourself and backdrop yourself appropriately so you have decent lighting on camera.
Yeah, and definitely with those C920s or C922s, both of them, the lighting is key. Also, an email from Jonathan Bloom. Jonathan Bloom said, "Hey, Stephen and SP, thank you for the heads up on the iHeartRadio Google Docs. I have two non-Libsyn shows hosted on Dan Benjamin's Fireside.fm, and through your mentioning of the Gonna Geek shows being added to iHeart, took me about 2 weeks, and now my two shows are showing up. Speaking of awesome and new podcast hosts, Fireside also added Spotify integration, and my Fireside shows are now on Spotify. I have really been enjoying their service. They provide a website and media host for $20 a month for the first podcast, and then $8 for each additional one. Dan runs the 5x5 Podcast Network, so you know it has a great pedigree. Their system is super simple, and I love how fast and responsive Dan is in the Slack channel he set up for Fireside customers. Sorry if I sounded like an ad, I just love Fireside. I love Libsyn too, have some Libsyn shows. At this point, I don't want to move away from either, and both Libsyn and Fireside fill a different need for my shows."
That's the most important thing, is that each have benefits for a specific type of show. So if you're looking for a media host, make sure that you research the pros and the cons for each individual media host that you are actually considering. I think this is an important step because it does change from time to time. We could sit down and go, okay, here's the best media podcast host to have in April 2018. And then we'd have to do it again. And here's the best podcast media host in May 2018. And then something would change. And then we would have to go, here is the best podcast media host for June 2018. So you see how it goes on. So we would just recommend that you look at what you're getting for each host when you are considering it and keep an open mind because Libsyn might not always be the best choice for you. So just keep that in mind. It depends on what your show is like.
All right. Why don't you read this last email out, SB? I
was just getting set to do that, Stephen. It was titled, Your Wind Chimes PR 781 Challenge Winner is Right Here. I think this is from Johnny Pennington, and he writes, Hey guys, I believe your Wind Chimes Heil PR 781 Challenge winner is right here. I never win anything, so it's just incredible that I believe that I have solved this mystery. You had challenged your audience in both of Better Podcasting episodes number 124 and number 125 to find the connection between SP's review of the Wind Chimes and the Heil PR 781 microphone. If you go to episode 18 of season 6 of a TV show called The Last Man Standing, you see, in this case, two guys podcasting from home. One guy has a dark head of hair along with dark facial hair. The other guy has a blonde head of hair, and he also has facial hair. Perhaps it's not yet allergy season, so the blonde guy doesn't need to shave off his facial hair. When doing their podcast, they say things that make you laugh. Additionally, they have a set of wind chimes for sound effects. Now, there is something very familiar with this scenario, but I can't put my finger on it. Yet I know it will come to me, but I regress. That's not the connection. The connection is... insert drum roll here, not a bad version of Tarzan beating his... I'm sorry, Johnny. The guys on the podcast have the exact wind chimes, just like the one SP reviewed, and they appear to be using the Heil PR781. It's definitely the Heil mount, and the size of the mic seems to concur. It has the lower ridge exposed and is very short. Unfortunately, the screen part is covered by a foam filter. Other Heil mics don't seem to match up. Alas, it would have been nice if at least the blonde-headed guy was using an RE320. Guys, I can hardly contain my excitement. Actually, I kind of have to, you know, the high blood pressure on my old ticker and all. I mean, I really think I won. Gosh, with what I seem to recall, it's a complete professional advanced podcasting studio package for the winner. I'll really be set. I mean, and again, it's just what I recall, but the package included a Zoom R12, a BP40, and an RE320 microphone, a pair of JBL LSR305 studio monitors, a non-squeaky chair, custom-made equipment racks made by Stephen John Drew himself, and the list just goes on and on. Come on, guys, confirm that I'm the winner so I can get you the where-to-ship information. I was always just joking before, but now your show really is my favorite podcast. Thanks again, guys. Johnny Pennington.
All right, Johnny. Johnny. We will say this. The Wind Chimes connection was indeed Last Man Standing. That's right. Fun fact about that. Bob Heil, Tim Allen apparently know each other somehow. So that's what happened, was that show was furnished with Heil equipment. It was actually all over the place when that show was on. I like that show for... Basically, I liked that show until I found that out. But no, I'm just joking. So seriously, though, it was all over the place. And actually, the PR781 was found in multiple sets. It was behind him in his office. It was behind him in his basement. It was... they were being used in the setup that you said. So yes, indeed, Last Man Standing was indeed the connection. And as I mentioned, I was going to give the winner recognition. Unfortunately, that recognition can't happen because your contest entry was disqualified. In one of your paragraphs, you said Atlas, comma, it would have been nice if the least or if at least the blonde-headed guy was using an RE320. Unfortunately, that's a typo, and typos do disqualify your entries here on Better Podcasting. So we appreciate your efforts, but there will be no recognition.
And by the way, the podcast being recorded by the two stars of The Last Man Standing was the Villains and Vegans podcast.
And fun fact, SP actually sent me some chimes in the mail, and I didn't know. It was a surprise. So we both own the chimes. All right, and that's the end of the Better Pod Back, and now we're going to tell you all about how the Zoom L12 click clip issue that has been mentioned many, many times on this show was solved. If this is the first time you've checked out Better Podcasting or you missed one of those episodes, the long story short is I got a Zoom L12 mixer. This L12 mixer is very, very feature rich. There's a lot of great functionality, multi-track recording. It's a mixer. There's a whole bunch of mix minus possibilities. It is an amazing addition with a bit of a price tag on it. However, I had one really weird problem with it, and I even sent off my mixer to have it checked out and hopefully fixed. Well, what happened was when I would say certain words, I would end up seeing a large line in the waveform and it would sound like it was clicking. It was clipping clearly, but it sounded more like an audible click. And I still to this date don't know exactly why it's doing it, but I did find a fix. And the fix, because this was only happening when I was running it through a preamplifier, so my DBX286, my Behringer Mini Mic, both of these did this going from my microphone into those preamps into the board, but from my microphone directly in the board did not do it. So my fix to maintain using my DBX286 and also not have it clip and click is to throw in a DI box in line. Now, it's not obviously ideal. Ideally, I would have found a way to fix the L12, but this maintains my quality. And now that I've confirmed that it works, I'm using a little cheapy DI box, and I've got some plans to switch some of my wiring in the future for some other reasons. And I'll end up probably at some point just spending a little bit of money to make sure that it is at absolute best quality with it. But by running through there, my theory is that it is either one, a ground issue of some form between them. It definitely can happen between two pieces of hardware. Plus, I have a million different connections going from my computer into the board. But it also could just be a matter of now that audible clipping that happens when I say certain words, because I speak weird as a Canadian, clearly, is now just clipping in the DI instead of the L12, and it's handling it better before sending it over to the L12. I don't know why this did this. I wish I had a solution, or I wish I had a solution directly in the L12, but I'll take this, and it's worth mentioning to others if you encounter a problem like this.
Now, you tried a ground loop isolator as well, correct?
No, that was a different issue.
Okay. So yes, the DI box, especially when you're talking about the out from the DBX286 and the ins into the L12, it's probably your best bet, DI box. DI boxes exist for problems like this to begin with, specifically on stage applications. And really, when you're talking about inserting any sort of computer equipment, such as a PC or a smartphone or an iPad into an audio system, audio is never plug and play. I think we've mentioned that before on this podcast. Is this your first time hearing it? Yes, indeed. Audio is not plug and play. You might think it is because, like, in your car it is, whatever, but they've actually taken into account things like ground loop isolators and DI boxes in designing the audio system of the car to begin with. So you're getting the end result of audio plug and play, but if you're designing a system from the ground up, like most home podcasters are, it's not exactly plug and play, and you might have to deal with ground loop isolators or DI boxes. So they're made to handle issues like this, and you just have to find the solution that mates with what you're doing, course, if you can get rid of that ground loop issue to begin with, that electronic interference to begin with, that's the bonus. But we tried, and or you tried, and there was a no-go. So this is the best solution.
Yeah, so I have no idea if it is ground or, like I said, it's just now clipping in the box instead of in the L12. It's just frustrating from the perspective that the H6 doesn't have the problem. You know, it's clearly something, the way I say words is sending a very sharp spike in the waveform, but the H6, you just don't hear it. You don't see it. I wasn't aware of it till the L12. So there you go. If you had an issue like that, maybe try a DI box or a ground loop isolator. And you know what? It's a solution, and it means that I don't have to run Isotope every single week on my track and hope that it catches it all.
That's right. So we hope that you've learned something from the episode this week, from practicing to make yourself perfect. Also, some little Canadian stats of where to distribute your podcast to get all of the listeners, as well as from our feedback, especially with the, if you have some more condenser feedback, we're more than willing to take it. And I, again, legitimately would like to know why you're using a condenser microphone. And also with Steven's weird L12 hack issue, which I'm so glad I can say hack and not pop like you do. So we hope that you have, and if you have any other questions, or if you want us to cover any specific topics in the future, we actually have a list of topics to go through, but we were always in the mode of listening to our listeners. So if you want us to actually talk about something, we will put it on the list and maybe get to it sooner than we would have otherwise.
Awesome. So there you go, for episode 126 of Better Podcasting. I'm Steven John Drew. I've got my wind chimes, a PR781. It's time for Vegan and Villains.
And I'm SP saying, I gotta go practice flying my drones.
I gotta practice ending this podcast right now.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Better Podcasting. We want to hear from you. You can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. If you like the show, please consider giving us a 5-star review in iTunes. We encourage you to check out all of the other geeky podcasts available at gunnageeknetwork.com. This has been a Gunna Geek production. Thanks for listening, and we will see you again next week.